In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Often the introduction to gospel readings will have something that in its preface refers you to another action conducted in the ministry of the Lord. And this came on the heels of the Lord telling Peter to drop a line into the water and to pull out a fish, and in the fish there would be two half shekels. This was the temple tax. And the Pharisees had gone to the Lord and said, does your master pay the temple tax? They were looking for a cause for offense. So the Lord told Peter, go, drop the line. He did so, pulled up the fish. In the fish there were two coins, pay for me and for you, Peter. And the disciples heard this. Now, St. Peter was first born, and that's why he would owe the temple tax. Well, there were other firstborn as well, and they did not have such a distinguished event take place. And so there arose a type of jealousy because, well, we've heard before that Peter, you're going to have the keys to the kingdom, and Peter, you are going to be a fisher of men, and Peter. And you know the three that were the most profitable to the Lord, and the three that ultimately were in most of the places where great miracles occurred were Peter, James, and John. So they got over their initial jealousy of well, why not me? You know, sometimes it's hard when you see someone who you think doesn't deserve more for what he has done than you, to be distinguished above you. When we were little, we all fought for gold stars on our homework, or we fought and struggled to get A's academically when we were in college, or to get on our diploma, cum laude, magna cum laude, summa cum laude. We worked for those things, for that, to be distinguished. I'm not just a graduate, but I'm a great graduate. I'm a graduate with honor. But they went over that, and they finally came up with the question that they thought would be applicable, and they said, who's going to be the greatest? And the Lord brought this child. Now, we have some children in our church, and some of them are hellions. They run around the church, and they create havoc, and they're noisy. So this child must have been really small and still manageable. Or, as the tradition goes, there was a great man, beloved, a patriarch, and he, on his way to the Colosseum to be ripped in two by the lions, you know, he said, when asked by the emperor, what is your name? He said, Theophorus. He said, I am the one who is lifted up by God. Right? And apparently, this man, the Bishop of Nineveh, Saint Isaac, he was, Ignatius, I meant. I said Isaac, Ignatius. Saint Ignatius was well known to everybody. So when he responded in this way, there was a kind of questioning that normally would take place. And he said, you know, being lifted up by God, it was told that he was this young child, particularly this young child that was being lifted up. Well, anyway, I this was not what I even wanted to talk about. I just started to look at the front. You know, the fathers have a lot of meditations on this, but here's the thing that caught my eye this time reading the gospel for the umpteenth time. It says, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. Why must offenses come? Why must they come? And woe to that man by whom the offense comes. What do they mean by that? You see, from the beginning, when it was just Adam and Eve in the garden, they declared who they were by their choices. The Lord did not make anyone inferior to anyone else. People make themselves either good or evil because of the accumulation of their choices and because of the way in which the choices that they have made turn them into slaves. There's no other way to say it. Now, men, I don't want to throw you under the bus, but it's easier because the wrath of women I have experienced in my life is far greater than the wrath of men. But it's written here that if you find yourself so moved through one of your members that causes you to sin, you should remove it from you. And they're very, very clear. You're better off not having a foot or having a hand or having an eye. It's better to go in half blind or maimed into the kingdom of heaven than being whole and perishing. Now, what am I talking about, men? You know, almost every single man I have ever met in my life has had a problem with pornography. Every single man that I have known has had a problem at one time or another. Now, some people resolve these problems. Some people are, by the grace of God, able to overcome them. But when it says pluck your eye out, what do you think they're talking about? Get rid of your smartphone. Get a flip-flop. You can't get porn on your flip-flop, but you can get it very readily on your cell phone, on your smartphone. Every man here knows it. Every man. And you know, I've had told people, put filters on your personal computer. People find a way to jailbreak no matter what it is in order to get to that spot once again, right? So when it says, pluck out your eye, they're talking about the thing that you see, the image upon which you fasten your gaze. Imagine if the man were looking and he were staring at the holy images and he refused to look. I go to the gym and I am amazed at how women dress in the gym. And I'm talking about people that you would never expect that would want to show off their figure in the fashion that they do. If you put a penny between their flesh and that garment, you could tell whether it was heads or tails. It is so tight, it is disgusting. And they do this, it's just a matter of course. They don't even see it anymore. And men don't see what they do with their eyes, because it has to be encouraged. It has to be encouraged. There's all kinds of jokes. The women are talking to men, and the woman is reminding the man, my eyes are up here. Yeah, I know, but you're not advertising your eyes the way that you're advertising other parts. I'm sorry to speak to you in this fashion, but this is the case. Bring it down to where you live. You do things that are corrupt, and you think you're going to go into the kingdom of heaven. People make jokes about me because I do not have a computer. I have not had a computer since Pentium 1 was the fastest processor. That'll tell you how long ago that was. And the reason I do not have it is because of exactly that reason. I've never said this before, but I'm not different than you. I find women the most beautiful and attractive thing God ever made. So why would I then take that image and sully it by looking at it through the eyes of lust and perversion? Because that's what is on the internet. And anyone can look at my phone. I will bring my phone and have it examined. It has, there are only about three little pictures on there. One's for the weather, one's for, there's nothing on my phone. It has never, ever, ever seen a bad image on that phone. All right. Now, I'm not holding myself up as some icon of perfection, but I'm saying I've told men for the last 34 years, don't do this. Don't do this. Do you think they listen? They don't. And you don't realize that this message is for you. Now, it may not be that this is your particular vice. It certainly would be mine if God changed the rules. I would immediately get a giant big screen for my computer so that I could get everything in living color and the same, life size. But it's not right. And the Lord has said, no, this is a disgusting thing. So I don't do it. All right, now I'm guilty of other things. I want you to understand that I have lots of issues that I am working on, But the main thing about this is that I don't go where there are fights. So my feet, I'm not guilty of using my feet to go where there are fights. I like to fight. I like to brawl. I like to punch somebody right in the face. I like that. I like the sound it makes. And I don't mind getting hit, right? I don't. But I don't go there, all right? I don't go to bars. My feet don't take me to bad places. They don't take me to see movies that are filled with pornography or any kind of thing like that. I don't do that, okay? My hands, I don't grasp for anything that isn't given to me by God. What is given to you by the grace of God, is going to help you in your life. What you reach out and take with your hand, this is sin. What you have not been given, but what you reach and grasp for, that is sin. I want this. I want this. I'm acquisitive. I want jewelry. I want this. Guys all like cars or motorcycles. And I guess to have one of each wouldn't be too bad. I think the Lord would probably allow that. But do you know what this means on the street level? It means that if you are doing anything, it may be that the Lord forgives you because of your culpability being in flesh. But if you are actively pursuing with your eyes, with your hands, with your feet, the Lord is going to say, woe to you. Offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. And what are they all, what does this mean? Because he's speaking to his disciples. He's saying, the world's going to be against you. I happened to hear something the other day speaking about Christians, they're the group that the people on the left hate the most. Now, there are some people who are on the left that are indeed Christian, but most of them, they will say, oh, well, you know what those Christians are like. They're the guys that want, no abortions. What a silly idea that is. They're the people that, want to have guns. They want to, they're what they call strict constructionists when it comes to the interpretation of the Constitution of the United States. There's all kinds of things that, you know, we are guilty of because we're Christian. I cannot do but what the Lord has said. I cannot do what, except what the Lord has said. And when the Lord has given me a command to do something, then I must do it. And I remember, you know, with all the pronouns they have about these people that have decided that they're fluid in terms of gender identity, there was this one guy that came up with the quip. He said, well, you know, where I come from, there's, you know, we only have, you know, what did he say? Dims and those. Them and those. But it's pronounced that way in some parts of the country. So we have a lot to answer for. And the Lord, if we confess and we work towards fighting the weaknesses of our flesh, He will readily forgive us. But willingly, when we go into a situation where the whole of our identity is fixated on something that is bad, then there's nothing for us. There's nothing for us. There is no hope. We are at that point incurable. It's like a person who has a severe addiction. And if you dry them out, if you chemically cleanse their body, and they have these things where they can clear out a lot of drugs from a human body in 24 hours. And that should do it, right? But no, there is this need in the mind. The mind that has once had this kind of stimulation craves it again and again and again. And that person is lost. You see, they've lost track of when it was within their power to say no. They've lost the string that goes all the way back. It's like Hansel and Gretel. They put out the breadcrumbs, but the birds then flew down and ate the crumbs, and they couldn't find their way out of the forest. And so they're lost. They're just lost. And they will be lost eternally. Lost eternally because of the nature of their lust. So let it not be for us. Look, it's easy to do without some things. It's easy. Once you get used to not doing something, it's easy. I know a family who decided because their television broke or something happened, not to repair it. And doggone, all of the kids started to read. And the parents put great books into the hands of the kids. I don't mean scholarly works. I mean the things that are good for age-appropriate interests. And, you know, they never did get another television. They never did get another television. These are real people who've made real choices that enable them for the kingdom of heaven and not for perdition, as we are warned in the gospel. I hope for all of you and for myself that I'm able to overcome my weaknesses. But I can tell you this, I don't bring anything into my house. You can search my house from top to bottom and you will not find one evil thing. I have guns in my house, 4 of them, but not one bullet. There has never been a round chambered in any one of my guns and then brought into the house. So the only thing I can do with the gun is to hit you over the head with it like a hammer, and I already have a hammer. So nothing is evil in my house, not one. Maybe some people who live there, but other than that, everything in my house is good, and I want you to live that way. I want all of us to be gathered together in the Lord's kingdom. Glory be to His holy name, both now and ever, into the age of ages. Amen.